Dave Moore
on Today FM
podcast.
It's Today FM. It's Dave Moore, and I've got David Gillick, Olympian and double European Championship athlete, with me. We spoke the last time you were in about your career, and we'll get to a bit of that now in a few minutes. But one of the things that I think people who are not going to be athletes but do want to get active, they can do is park runs.
Yeah, yeah.
And I know a lot of the kids in my area. I coach a lot of different kids, different age groups in soccer. But one of the things that we talk about is, like, you know, the fitness required, even at under 10s and under 11s and under 12s, you know, especially going back after the summer when you're starting to do your bit of preseason. And I always say to them, look, lads, if you can get out with your mom and dad and do a park run, it'll stand to you, you know, towards the end of the season when we're all getting tired. But they're great things, aren't they?
They're fantastic. And, like, I've been involved with park run for nearly the last 10 years. And it got me back into running. You know, I went full circle from hating the sport when I retired from the elite level to then going up to my local park, Marley Park, and doing a 5K. And again, you're battling with yourself because, look, you know, it's where I grew up and you might get recognised and ego sort of takes over. But once I kicked that to touch, I really, really enjoyed it. And it became a cornerstone of my own kind of lifestyle and indeed well-being. And it's funny that you reference, you know, the junior park runs, which obviously take place on a Sunday, and they're 2K. My own kids go up and do that. And my daughter loves it. You know, she absolutely loves it. And she's five. And I coach our local football team, Bradford Rovers, and we're under eights going into under nines.
Brilliant.
And, again, we get the lads up on a Sunday. We play Saturday. Sunday, you go up and a few of them are running the park run. And I think that's it. It's that, you know, from your own fitness levels, regardless of any age, it's just getting them into the habit of running.
Yes.
You know, normalising kind of what it's like to run. And also with kids is realising that to be a good footballer, rugby player, GA player, running.
Yeah.
The longer you run, the faster you run can benefit that. And that's what I always say to our lads, you know, and we try and get them together and get them up there and we run an event, you know what I mean? Okay, we're all going up, wear your club jerseys and get up and get involved.
There you go.
And because it's free, they're very accessible and very inclusive and they're all over the country. I'd recommend them for kids, but also that kind of relationship with your parents. The parents can run beside you.
100%.
And that's something that, say, my daughter Olivia particularly, like my wife Charlotte would run it with her, I'd run it with her. And now she's like, I don't want to run with you. I want to do it by myself.
Okay.
So you're building up that confidence. And letting them just get amongst it and just run. And it's great because it's not like a race. It's very relaxed.
No,
it's
totally
enjoyable. And particularly as the weather's really good, it brings the family together.
I was going to say, it's also a thing for those of us who may not be up to a 5K, you can probably run a 2K with your kid.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? So and then you get all those other benefits you're talking about, that connection, and eventually they will push you away like Olivia does. But you know what I mean? But at least, at least you start that way and you have that buy-in. One of the key things, though, I think when you're out running or out spending time coaching football or playing football, whatever, is being sun safe.
Oh,
and
you're
working with VHI on their sun safe campaign. And this is something that, I've been preaching this just from my little radio tower here for years, as somebody who has had a dermatologist because of the family history since I was like 14. But it's just so important. Like,
Listen, it's of paramount importance. And I think even now, like the weather we're having at the moment, it's warm. But I think in Ireland, we can be a little bit lazy in terms of, you know, putting cream on. And that's why this whole kind of initiative around SunSafe, and we have a dermatologist, Dr. Rebecca Hallan, involved as well, because all the science basically says that we're not doing enough. You know, as Irish people, we tend to, when we go abroad and we go on holidays, we put it on and it becomes in the morning, you put it on, the kids, yourself. But when we're at home, we simply don't. And even, say, like the days that we've had, there's a lot of people going around sunburnt.
100%.
You know, and I know for myself, I got to admit, like, I'm brutal at it. I am. And my wife, Charlotte, always on to me. You need to be putting on, you know, not just even during the summer, but even all kind of around a year. This is the thing, cloudy weather, it doesn't matter, get it on you. And we're actually terrible. Like 4 out of 5 people get badly sunburned. You know, I think it's like 15% of people don't do anything in terms of sun protection.
Wow.
So you can see, like, 15% is an awful lot.
Yeah.
And I think that's what we're trying to change and just make people aware that when you're going out, you know, do put on some level of SPF and make sure that you're protecting yourself. And like I said, like, I'm always getting in trouble at home for not doing it.
No, you're right.
She's always on to me.
It's one of those things where when you educate yourself, all of a sudden it starts to make sense. So, for example, I always wear an SPF in my moisturizer, right?
Yeah.
So every morning I get up, I moisturize my face, neck, ears, put it on.
I can see it. It shows.
Yeah, gorgeous, right? I look like I'm 20-something. Anyway, but the point is, I realized after about 2 years, I was like, I'm coming straight into work, right?
Yeah.
So I'm in here pre-7 a.m. and I leave here at about 1:30, 2 o'clock, and I'm like, But your the effectiveness of the SPF is worn off. And then I walk out into the sun, finally, like a vampire walking out, and I go, "Oh, I'm protected." And I was like, "No, I've got to reapply it before I leave the office." So now I have one in my drawer, and that's what I'll do, because you got to remind yourself that this thing is so important.
And like you said, there's plenty of products out there for male and female that have SPF in it. You know, actually look, and if you are into moisturising or looking after yourself in that space, get one that has SPF in it, and just have it with you.
Okay, look, we want to talk about Irish athletics and the rude health it finds itself in. You've been to an Olympics. We're preparing for Paris 2024, but what a European Championships we just had.
Yeah. Like, even when you say that, I'm smiling because, look, it's my sport. It's a sport that I've been doing since a kid. And, you know, again, to be involved, say, on the media side and actually witness what went on in Rome and engage with the athletes as they come off the track is fantastic. And just the coverage that the sport, like all of our athletes, they performed at an elite level really well, won medals, but they carried themselves in the sport extremely well. And it just shows what we're capable of and obviously the talent that we have, and particularly in an Olympic year. So, you know, it's tricky in athletics to have two majors in one season.
Yeah.
And even from a coaching perspective, trying to get your athletes to peak at the right time. But for some of our Olympians that were kind of heading to Rome, to put down markers this early in the season is just so impressive.
One of the things that impressed me, was Rasita talking about when she got the 49. Oh, no, it was after the relay. No, I think it was the 49.07. Yeah. But she commented that, like, she was coming into the Euros to just kind of do them because it was all preparation for the Olympics. And to do what she did and to run as she ran. Like, I mean, there's a stat I saw that her time in the 400 metres would have won gold at almost all of the last.
Bar Tokyo.
Yeah, it would have got silver.
Yeah.
So she would have won 2000, 2004, 2008, 2012, 2016. She would have won gold.
Yeah, it was her time was the 17th fastest ever over 400 metres. And again, like Natalia Kaczmarek, the Polish athlete that beat her, like, to run, she ran 48.9, okay, so dipped inside 49 seconds. Like, again, that time, that broke a Polish record that stood for 50 years. Jeez. Like, the times alone were off the charts.
Yeah.
And Rashida, that was her second 400 individual of the season.
The season,
you know, because she's training through, and she was right, you know, her priority is Paris at the Olympic Games. So, you know, you're trying to balance that. She came in and she used that as the kind of training effect. But to go out and run a 49.07, you know, it's ridiculously good. And trying to kind of get that to people at home, like, it's so fast, so early in the season. And it just shows that where she's at. And also it gives her great confidence knowing that the year that she's put together in terms of training is working.
Is working. That's key. But, like, you think about it, we had the 1500s, 5000s with the women's 200, with the mixed relay, with the 100 metre hurdles and the women with the marathon. Like, we're doing what we do in some sports, which is we're overachieving in terms of our population size. It's so phenomenal.
It is really, really good. And, like, you know, that word overachieving and punching above our weight, like, we probably are in terms of the investment and everything that goes into athletics in the country. You know, we still have a lot of work to do. And in fairness, the governing body have come out to say that, you know, but this gives us a shop window. This gives us an opportunity. And it makes us kind of almost mainstream sport, you know, because it's hard in Ireland. There's, you know, there's three dominant sports. So when you get a minority sport that's kind of creating headlines. And also what was really impressive, like, it was the women that really pushed it.
Yes.
And I think, you know, when I was over there and then I came home, everybody's talking to me about athletics. I was getting texts from my mates talking about strategies of a 4x4 relay. And you're like, they know, it's 4-4-2 in their minds, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
They know nothing about relay. But, like, this is what, it was Italian 90 all over again.
It was.
And it brings me a lot of joy because, like, I think athletics is a great sport. And we spoke about, you know, the junior park runs and the local clubs. And that's what the headlines give you. They give you the I suppose, the inspiration to get kids involved. And whether it's your local club or your local VHI park run, that's where it starts.
Yeah.
And I think if we can nurture that and give kids the opportunity and also give them the stars, that's what we have. Rashida, Kira, you know, the mixed 4x4, like, there's so
but
many,
you know,
there.
What's funny, like, we can go back to, say, when you were maybe inspired by maybe a Sonia or whoever.
Was,
like, we had a one.
We had a one.
Like, we don't have a one today. Like, there are people coming, there are people currently performing, going for Olympics 2024, but there are also people coming up that we're hearing about now because of the focus on it. Like, it's going, hang on, like, there is a potential of a, you know, a generation of talent.
Yeah, absolutely. And again, it goes back to the headlines. You know, like, I grew up in a Sonia Sullivan era, and I can remember, like, getting out of bed and watching the Olympic Games and listening to the radio. It was always on in the house. And that inspired me. And I remember watching Sonia Sullivan doing her laps of honour, winning golds at Worlds and Europeans, and then obviously in Sydney. And that inspired me. I wanted that. Mm. I wanted it. What's it like to do a lap of honour? What's it like to get on the podium?
Yeah.
That's the stuff that inspired me. And I'd love it. And it's great to see, on social media now, you get an insight into what's going on around the country. There's a lot of little girls who are running around with the little kind of hair ribbons that Rashida and Charlene were wearing. And that's the stuff that you want to see. It's like kids playing football.
100%.
How many kids do you see come down with like the folding haircuts and the boots and all that sort of crap?
Absolutely.
It's the exact same thing.
No, it is. Yeah, it's so good that the sport, as you said, that often does live in the shadow of the three major ones, as all minority sports do. But it's great to see it getting that. We wish them all the best. Thank you very much for coming in. Before you go, I've asked you all my quick fire questions before when you were in. We talked about leg washing.
I wash my legs. Yeah.
I know you do. One of the ones that we didn't get to or wasn't doing at the time is, what are you currently obsessed with?
Oh God!
Is there something that an app, a meal, a friend, movies, or what are you currently obsessed with, David Gillick?
You're putting me on the spot now.
Yeah, that's the idea. Yeah.
I'm probably currently obsessed with. It's probably going to sound a bit boring, but sport in general.
Right.
I think right now that's all I'm watching. Mm. Whether it's athletics or whether it's the Euros, that's like she's giving out to me at home, going, turn off this rubbish. But that's all I want to watch.
Yeah.
So sorry if that's boring.
No, and
right
you're running and you're coaching Bradford Rovers.
Yeah, the season's we're just finished the season. Thank God. As you know.
Oh, I know well. I've two
mini World Cups
finished.
And mini Euros, all the rest of it. So looking forward for a bit of a break at that. But I'm just gorging on sport at the moment.
Nothing wrong with that, in fairness. Nothing wrong with that. David Gillick, Olympian, double European athlete. Thank you so much for coming in.
Thanks a lot. Dave Moore on Today FM Podcast.